No, a goldfish does not have a 3-second memory. No, the North Star is not the brightest star. No, coal doesn't turn into diamonds. Surprised? There are literally hundreds of more pieces of information where that came from in my book, Facts That Aren't True. Click the link in the description to learn more. Do I believe in the concept of eternity?
Yes.
I don't exactly know what that means. So what I can tell you, what do you mean by that?
Well, eternal, the idea of there was no beginning and there will be no end.
Okay. Well, scientifically speaking, there are concepts about an eternal universe that can work. So time as we understand it is a property of the universe. Some say it's the fourth dimension of the universe. We have space-time. But when we run the clock backwards and look at today the universe is expanding, you go backwards, it contracts. What happens is all of the forces that we know about get unified into what scientists sometimes call the singularity. And so time, as we understand it, wouldn't pass. You could have a universe that exists, but is essentially timeless. Or you can think about it like the inside of a black hole. Our physics breaks down and we can't describe, like, time as we understand it doesn't work inside of a black hole either. So, and we know black holes exist. So, that is, like, scientifically, the concept of an eternal universe kind of looks like that. It sits in an odd quantum state. Not really, there's no entropy happening, so time as we understand it isn't flowing. Now, into the future, what'll happen? I mean, I have different ideas about that. I don't want to ramble too much. So you can tell me what you think so far.
Well, I mean, there's a thin line between eternity and infinity, right? So it's my stance, right, that logic and time and the things that we understand in the solar system, right, is in a closed system. Like, logic only really works in a closed system. We only know this entire solar system is made up of a certain number of compounds and whatever it is atomically. I'm not, you know, scientifically that, you know, that qualified to speak on it, right? But my point is this, is that if you look at our solar system and you look at our solar system, right, it is in harmony with itself, right? You know what I mean? The planet that we live on has the necessary things that we need to be able to survive. We are at the correct distance from the sun and all of those type of things.
Well, not really.
Well, what do you mean not really?
So do you just not believe in evolution?
No, I do believe in evolution. I believe in an evolutionary process. I believe in an evolutionary process. I think there's too much holes to say that evolution as we understand it scientifically is completely correct. I think it's, you know, it's been done by Delphi studies. There's been a bunch of really smart people that come up with the same kind of conclusion, but there's a lot of holes to say this is the reason why human beings are standing on this earth. I do believe in an evolutionary process that's clear. We could see it, right? You know what I mean? We could see it in our own generation, right? You know what I mean? And the origin of species really talks more about, you know, natural selection rather than evolution, right? You know what I mean? So you could see a natural selection.
No, that's not how that works at all. Natural selection. What do you mean? Natural selection is the mechanism that causes the extreme amount of evolution that is proposed to have taken place. So going back, you said that Earth has all this stuff for life and the sun is just the right distance. So when you put it that way, you're putting the order of events backwards. Life evolved on this planet and it evolved by taking advantage of the resources, the chemistry, the environment that life finds itself in. So of course, Earth has the ingredients, conditions, whatever, for life because it shaped life. It wasn't like Earth was, you know, I have these video games where you create your own theme park, like a dinosaur theme park, And before I put the dinosaurs in there, I make sure there's a pond, there's the right kind of vegetation, the fence is big enough so that they won't escape. And then I put the dinosaurs in. And you're kind of imagining life, the evolution process and life that way, rather than life conforming to the environment it finds itself in. And then the thing about the sun, this whole Goldilocks zone thing, the Goldilocks zone is enormous. Mars had liquid water and oceans and weather for a long time. It lost it because Mars doesn't have a magnetic field, and so then it lost its atmosphere. But conditions for life existed on Mars a long time ago, and Mars is 1.5 times farther from the sun than we are. So the Goldilocks zone that allows life in general to exist is enormous. And there very well might be life on the moons of Saturn and Jupiter. We're going to hopefully find out in about 10 years.
Well, okay, so I want to use the idea of like fractal geometry and talk about a little, even the idea that the galaxy itself is in harmony, right? But do you believe that our biological organisms, human beings as we are, humanoids, our bodies, our biology is in harmony? Like our bodies, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, my mom has cancer, so what is in harmony there?
Well, I mean, cancer is a result of you know, torn chromosomes, right? And I want to make that point. There's
no.
Well, that's what happens. What happens is that the chromosomes are not sending out the right template to replace the cells, right? So the cells become cancerous, right?
That is a metaphorical way of putting it. That is.
It's not metaphorical. It's the simplest way of saying it, right? In simple terms.
Well, it's wrong.
That's what happens.
I mean, the idea that it's so simplistic that it is basically wrong, but in the most, if you could reduce it in the most absurd way, there are changes in the DNA that cause changes in cell division that become uncontrolled. Okay. That's really not the same thing as the chromosomes get torn up or something like that. But I mean, I'll take your point and we can move on.
I'm saying exactly what you say, right? So in a dumbed down version.
In your own Brooklyn way. Yep. It's fine
right?
with
so
me.
So something goes wrong and the template of cell replacement goes awry. That was my point, right?
Yep.
And so really there's no explanation for why that would happen. Why would that happen? Right. You know what I mean? It doesn't really make sense. The idea of death, right? When you look at the human body, when you look at human biology, really doesn't make any kind of sense. Now, this does happen, right? Cancer does happen and these other diseases does happen. And so I have to ask the question, why is that true? Why would that take place? Right. You know what I mean? It doesn't benefit humankind in any kind of way, right? There's no reason. There's no benefit in it, right? You know what I mean? And everything really kind of benefits itself, right? Our bodies are absolutely, if you look at it as like a machine, right? It's almost perfect, right? It's almost perfect. But despite these things that go wrong, the diseases and stuff like that that take place, and there's no explanation why. No one can explain why this happens, right? You know what I mean?
Cancer?
So
we know why. We know why cancer happens.
Well, no, we know what takes place. We know what takes place, right? But there's no answer of the cause of that, right? Like what, you know, what is it? Why does one person have cancer and another person doesn't? Why does cancer exist at all? Especially when you look at our biological setup. It doesn't really apply.
From the standpoint of entropy, I think it actually makes sense that cancer would happen eventually. And, you know, if you look at organisms like us, cancer happens later in life typically. And so humans have, you know, we live for a fairly long time. Like I could go into this for quite a while, but cancer, it's tragic that it happens, but it doesn't really matter because in the vast majority of cases, it tends to happen after a person has already gone through the ages where they would be reproducing. So they've already produced the next generation. So in terms of biology, you've already won the game. even if, you know, later in life you get cancer or heart disease or whatever else. But we also do kind of have pretty good ideas about what causes cancer.
No, I agree that we have the idea of biologically what causes cancer, right? We know the causation of that, right? The point I'm trying to make is that why do humans, right? Why do humans die, right? You know what I mean? If it's simply for the fact to go ahead and produce more humans, right? It would actually be more beneficial that we didn't die. There would be a certain amount of humans on the planet, and we would thrive in that way, right? So it doesn't really make sense unless you start to look at a more existential idea of why these things take place. I mean, if you walked into a room and seen a stack of quarters, right? You know, standing in a corner, you don't have to know that someone designed it or put it there. It's just kind of common sense. So when you look at these things, when you look at the harmony and the way that we have been designed, right? You know what I mean? You would have to admit that there seems to be some sort of creation, some sort of idea, right? Some sort of purpose, right?
You just said it doesn't make any sense that we get cancer, and now you're telling me we were designed with the purpose of getting cancer.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Yeah, you did.
My point is this, is that no, I didn't. If you got that, then you missed.
Did you not say that it doesn't make sense biologically why we get cancer?
I did say that.
And then you said, but if you look at life, it makes more sense the way life is if we go with we were designed by some sort of creator. Now, the fact is we get cancer, so the implication of your logic is we were designed to get cancer.
No, I understand where you came to that conclusion. No, I believe that we were designed to be eternal, right? You know what I mean? And then something went wrong, right? So I believe that humankind is eternal.
So if... scientifically, at least, there have been an estimated about 100 billion human beings that have ever lived. I think that it would be really bad if everybody that have ever lived was still alive.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. How long do you propose that Homo sapiens sapien has been on this planet?
Around 300. There's kind of two different answers, 300,000 years for our species, but then there's this slight change that happened in our anatomy. So they say anatomically modern human beings have been around for, I think it's about 150,000 years. So,
well, Homo sapiens sapien, right? The scientific consensus is about 30,000 years, right? So there was other humanoids.
No, not 30,000 years.
Get and look it up, I promise you, right?
Well, that's, you know what? We're going to do it. Sapien. We're going to do exactly that. So let's see here. All right, can you see the chat GPT?
Yes. Homo sapiens sapien. Not Homo sapiens, but Homo sapiens sapien.
What the hell is Homo sapiens sapiens?
There's a difference between Homo sapien and Homo sapiens sapien.
Okay, this is probably way too small to read, so let me make that. Well, I made it bigger, and now it doesn't fit on the screen, so give me a moment to...
Subspecies for which all modern human beings, the subspecies, break down 300 years ago. You could just read that to get simpler.
Well, no, it's fun to be able to see it. So Homo sapiens sapiens... have been around for 200,000 to 300,000 years. So there we go. I don't know, the 30,000...
70,000 years ago, modern human beings migrated out of Africa and significant numbers started replacing or interbreeding with archaic humans like Neanderthals and Denisovians.
Hell
so
yeah.
So while Homo sapiens as a species has been around 300,000 years old, the fully modern humans, Homo sapiens sapien, as we today likely emerged around 150 to 2,000 years ago and became globally dominate about 70,000 years ago. All right, so I have to see that point. So I was incorrect in about 30,000 years. But my
only one order of magnitude, yeah.
Say that again.
It's not important. So, just go ahead and tell me where you were going with that. So we've been around for, or you asked me how long we've been around. So we've been around for over 100,000 years. Therefore, what?
Well, the idea is that I believe, right, that what we are, humankind, right, was created eternal, right? You know what I mean? And through reasons I cannot explain, right? There's all kinds of religious ideas, right? So you can go into any Orthodox religion and they'll have that explanation. Now, I tend to agree with some of them, right? You know what I mean? Especially the Christian version, right? Because the truth of the matter is that I have an existentialist idea, right? You know what I mean? That we're not just placed here by chance. We didn't come just by chance, because if that was the case, then we would simply just become sociopaths, right? Because really, at the end of the day, if we live our life for 70 or 80 years and then just, just no longer exist, why not just be a Viking? Why not just do whatever is most beneficial to the individual?
Because we're a social species. And if everybody's a psychopath, then the psychopath never gets what they want. Because a psychopath says, hey, I'm going to take whatever I want and you can't tell me nothing. And then the psychopath's neighbor says, well, that's funny because I have that same exact idea. And then the psychopath goes, wait, no, what? You can't do that. So, I mean, like, this is there have been some pretty rigorous studies and simulations done on I don't know what you call it. It's not social evolution or anything like that. But people like Robert Trivers and many others have come up with models that accurately describe how a social species like us more properly flourishes. And it's by exhibiting characteristics that are very fundamentally human, like empathy, reason, and all kinds of other things.
Right. So, and that's my point, right? So I think there's a natural law that these things, empathy, and I wouldn't.
Yeah,
really,
but it's describable evolutionarily. There's no need to appeal to any kind of creation.
I disagree. I fundamentally disagree there, because really, if you look at Nietzsche wrote about the Superman, right? The Ubermensch. Right. And really what that really is,
yeah,
is just an anti-.
Nietzsche was a crackpot who had syphilis.
Well, but he was an absolute genius, right? That had some very,
he was
very
probably
real
pretty
ideas.
Smart, yeah, but I mean,
yeah, he was definitely pretty smart. And my point is this is that what happens is that he was a nihilist, right? He was a nihilist. Yeah. And really, the theory of evolution, the idea of evolution, is really a nihilistic way of looking as an explanation of why humankind is on this planet.
Just because there's no teleology doesn't mean you have to be nihilistic. None of that logically follows.
Well, okay, so what do you think happens when you pass away?
Not much.
Okay, so that's nihilism.
I think your subjective experience ends.
Okay, so all right, so that's nihilism at its most common, the lowest common denominator.
Okay,
it means nothing. This life means nothing. If that's the truth,
that's not true. Life means everything because it's all you got. If I thought I was gonna have to live an entire other eternal life, I'd just die right now. Hurry up and get to the point.
I mean, really, bro, you kind of just proved my point, right? You know what I mean? So people, I think.
No, I did the opposite of prove your point.
No,
very much, very much the opposite. No, I said that this life is all you got. As the philosopher Sublime once said. And so therefore, this life is the most valuable thing that I could ever have. Whereas if I thought I was going to go live forever with great, great Meemaw and unicorns and Jesus and whoever else is up there, then I would just do a backflip off of City Hall and go hang out with them.
Yeah, but there's a foundational problem to that, right? You know what I mean? You know, it would lead me down a Christian track, and I'm trying to avoid that, because to be perfectly honest with you, which what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to have my spirituality and the idea of evolution come together, because I do not think that God did not use evolution as a tool in creating human beings, right? You know what I mean? I really don't. I think that he used evolution as a tool to get to where we are, right? And I still think that humanity is in an infantile stage. We really are as living beings, and the way that we live in a very, very infantile stage. And I don't think we were designed to live the way that we are now, right? I mean, sin kind of entered the world.
What are we supposed to live like?
I think we were supposed to live eternally, right? We were supposed to live created eternally, a limited number of people. I agree with you. You wouldn't want to be around billions and billions and billions of people, but I think there was a certain amount of souls that were created, and we were supposed to live eternally. That didn't happen. There's a lot of explanations why that didn't happen. I agree with some of them. I disagree with others. But my thought is that, you know, we're really kind of in the dark ages of humanity. We are in an infantile stage. We don't know nothing. Really, we don't know anything. I mean, we can measure some things scientifically
We know so much more than we did only like 100 years ago. There's actually this fascinating phenomena about information, and quite a lot of information is just useless. You know, it's like somebody like all the crap you ever do online, that information exists in some capacity. And then after you die, that information isn't really helping. But about every 2 years, the amount of cumulative information that humanity has developed doubles. That's been happening for the last several decades, and it's going to keep happening. So 2 years from now, all of the cumulative information that human beings have gained in its entire history will have doubled in only 2 years. Right. And yes, there's a lot of cat memes in there, but there's also all of the scientific data that is published every single year goes along with that as well. So,
all right. So
the idea that we don't know much is just no.
Well, okay, so I agree with you. I agree. And this is a phenomenon that's really kind of unexplainable. If we've been on this planet for, what would they say, 300,000 years, that growth in information has only really started since the Industrial Revolution, right? I mean, the gains that we've made, right? The gains that we've made from the beginning of the Industrial Revolution to this time and period, which is a very short period of time, like 150 years, right? I mean, it's incredible. Right, the gains that we made. And so why didn't we make all of those gains all through all the 200 centuries, right? You know what I mean? That we were here. It's really, really unexplainable, right? The ideas that we have now.
It's very explainable, actually.
Okay, so why didn't we have this? Why didn't we have cell phones in the 14th century?
Well, it makes it a little bit trickier when you give a hyper specific example like that. But the reason we didn't have cell phones in the 14th century was because we couldn't capture and trap electricity. We knew absolutely nothing about refining metals to the degree that you would need to. We didn't have industrialized like wide scale manufacturing. I mean, they did for some things like manufacturing, I don't know, I guess, cannons and metals and horseshoes and certain things. But the biggest problem, like fundamentally, is two things. It's one, ignorance. They just didn't know anywhere close to as much stuff as we know today. And a lack of technological know-how. And that can only happen once things that feed off of each other and follow one from the next happen. Like, if we took the 100 smartest people on the planet today, not even that, because, you know, some of the smartest people might like if we took 100 of the smartest, like electrical engineers or something, and put them in the 1400s, they wouldn't be able to do jack shit, because they wouldn't have the tools or the technology to even begin to construct anything that they could use. So the whole thing about, I think we can actually describe this fairly simply. We can go to that thing about information accumulating generation after generation. First, you need enough people. You need a complex enough society where you can create enough capital to make it so that somebody can be a scientist or an engineer for a living instead of a subsistence farmer. And then you need some sort of scientific or academic apparatus that accumulates knowledge over time. And then all those things just need to continuously build more and more complex and passing on of more and more information. And then that's the only way you can ever get to a civilization that is that complex.
Well, I mean, but again, I have to go back that technology has really only grown since the Industrial Revolution. You can go back 5,000 years and look at the Greeks, right? They were everything that you were talking about, right? The Western world is built on Greek thought, right? So you had some really, really intelligent people with a very, very complicated and complex society. Right. You know what I mean? So, you know, why didn't they have the ability to come up with these ideas? Right. Why has it popped up in just the last 150 years? And I mean, we're talking about 5,000 years ago. We know, we read their books. We have their literature. Our entire society is built on their ideas.
So I feel like, I think I can explain this pretty simply. First of all, refer to everything I just mentioned with the arc of history and progress and how it has to be cumulative. But also, it's not like people of today are fundamentally different than people of the past. If we teleported, you know, Archimedes, he was one of the smartest people from the ancient world, but he didn't have an iPhone 16 Pro Max. He was a fucking loser, right? If we teleported him as a young kid or a baby or whatever to the present day, Archimedes would be able to grow up and do any kind of thing that anybody today could do. But because he was probably just innately very smart, he would go on to be wildly successful. If you took one of us and teleported, like if you took Albert Einstein and teleported him back to ancient Greece as a young lad, he would not grow up and develop general or special relativity, because the math, the technology, the accumulated knowledge that got him there didn't exist, because Michael Faraday hadn't been born and done anything yet. Isaac Newton hadn't been born and done anything yet. James Clerk Maxwell, same thing. Some other people that influenced Einstein, whoever the hell they might be.
Well, all Einstein's work, I mean, Archimedes was the founder of mathematics on this planet, right? So he was the foundation. Archimedes really was the founder of mathematics and his ideas, his concepts. And a lot of them were like really, really wrong, but that's besides the point. You know what I mean? My point is that, you know, so you didn't really answer my question. You really didn't answer my question. You had some very, very intelligent, resourceful people with a complex society, which you stated was a requirement to be able to get this information and to be able to grow, right? You know what I mean? So
yeah, have you ever played Minecraft before?
I'm not a gamer at all, no.
Well, for you pro gamers out there, you have to start out punching trees. You can't just build an ender portal, or not an ender portal, what the hell is it called? The thing at the end. I already forgot what it's called. But you can't just do that right away. You have to start out punching trees. Anyways, go on.
Well, I mean, it's like confounding to me why there's been such a huge technological boom since the Industrial Revolution. It's really since the steam engine. We went from the steam engine to we have rockets.
You know what I mean? Like, we've made a growth, right, in technological, yep, in technological ideas, right, and even in sociological ideas that this is remarkable when we look at human history.
I think I can help you. I think I can help you out here with this. So, yes, there's been all kinds of technological advancements. So have you ever seen pictures of the very first car?
Yeah, the steam engine car, yeah.
It wasn't steam engine. Carl Benz's car had an internal combustion engine, but it was three-wheeled and it was just a piece of shit, right? Okay, Leonardo da Vinci never had a car, but we in today's society have cars. But wait a minute, the original car got probably 3 gallons to the mile, had a top speed of a fart, and it wasn't even enclosed or anything. Whereas today, you can get even the biggest shitbox car is an absolute marvel. So why is it that the very first car couldn't go 200 miles per hour and had adaptive cruise control?
Well, that's my exact point. So
it's not your point. You're saying they didn't have technology. We have technology. You can't explain that. Well, actually, the technology we have, technically the same thing, a car 140 years ago or whatever, was garbage. The reason we have the cars we have today is because of exactly the same thing I've been lining out that you kind of hand waved away. The accumulation of technology, of know-how, wisdom, and whatever, and just more people and more ideas as well. That does really explain it.
No, it doesn't, because you brought up a good point, right? If you look at Leonardo da Vinci and his ideas, and I mean, he literally like had schematics on machinery, right? But it didn't exponentially change like it has since the car. I think it's a good example, right? So you go from the first shitbox car that was created 140 years ago to the vehicles we have now, right? So it's tremendous, right? And then you have Leonardo da Vinci, who was absolute fucking, he was a genius. He came up with all kinds of ideas, right? You know what I mean? He was an incredibly intelligent person, right? You know what I mean? But yet his ideas didn't change for, I don't know when Leonardo da Vinci was alive, 500 years ago, or whatever it was, right? You know what I mean? Why was it such a small increase, right? So some of his ideas, like he invented like a helicopter looking type of thing, right? He had like some flying machine looking things, right? You know what I mean? He understood aerodynamics at that time, right? You know what I mean? We had the ability to make wings, right? The first plane was a single wing, right? You know what I mean? That's basically what it was. I have to understand the idea of aerodynamics. And Da Vinci had a very clear concept of aerodynamics. Yet, we didn't get a plane until, what was the 18th century or whenever the friggin' the Wright brothers were around. They were like the first
1916? 13? No, okay, it was 1909. It's either 1909 or 1906. I always forget.
All right. So pretty short time ago, right? So Da Vinci understood the idea of aerodynamics, right? There was resources where you could build a wing, right? You know what I mean? But yet we didn't do it, right? It didn't happen. So it's unexplainable why. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I understand your
because,
point, right? You know what I mean?
Like, dude, literally, if you took the 100 smartest inventors today and threw them back 500 years ago, they could maybe make like a cool wagon or something like that, but they wouldn't be able to really invent something extraordinary. The best they could maybe do is figure out how to like create some electricity out of some electrolytes and maybe make the world's crappiest light bulb, but there would just be, they just wouldn't have the accumulated stuff to be able to do anything fantastic.
Okay, well, explain to me why.
Explain?
No, I'm sorry.
I did so many times.
No, you didn't. No, what you did was you came up with a kind of simplistic answer, right? It's simple, right? What you're saying is understandable, but simple. Maybe the way I was explaining the idea of existentialism or cancer, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't really have the technical answer, and I don't believe that you have the technical answer. And I'm not questioning your intelligence. Obviously, you know, you've thought about these things and you're educated and you're able to articulate ideas, right? But you still didn't give me an answer, my friend.
No, I did. We're going to try this one more time, and then I got to move on because there are a lot of people waiting. Why was the first car not as good as today's modern cars?
Are you asking me that question?
Yes.
Because it was a little more primitive than what we have now.
Yeah, but that's the question. Why?
Because the concept of the car was brand new, right? Like, we improve on things that we have.
Right. So why was the technology of people from the past so much different and worse than the technology we have today? For the same reason.
No, because I bring up the point of Da Vinci. Da Vinci designed a wing. Why didn't he build on it? Why didn't his
Carl Benz invented the car? Why didn't he invent the Bugatti Veyron?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the point that you're trying to make, but again, I think you're kind of ducking the question. I'm going to let you move on. Thank you for the conversation. I appreciated it. Right, I really did. Have a good evening. I'm going to listen to you and your guests for a little while, but I'm going to go ahead and step down. Have a good night, brother.